Yeah, this is Lauren, not a question, but a comment. Yeah, we're going to Brian, the general managers in Brian's appeal have agreed to do another fund drive in August where they're committed to $17,000 for the archives. You know, different stations don't have the dates yet on all the stations, but have committed to doing a drive, although at this point, quite realistically, I think that we might that some of the commitment will probably come down some, like at PFW, but not necessarily at BAI. There has been a change in management. We're expecting the fulfillment at BAI to go up to a level that's consistent with the budget. But so that has been done. And I'm sending out the central service status as of June the 30th, and as we see, that the reason why we're behind on payments with Democracy Now, and while we're in a cash crunch, is that that the central services that we do this year were like $1.5 million. We have received about $900,000, but some of that was past due from the prior year. Mm. So until a commitment is made, and when we say central services, this isn't just like dipping into the pot. This is in the insurance for the network for the stations, which we pay out of the national office. This is insurance. This is a lot of like NPR, satellite, all of those things, especially insurance, are very high. So before when we did have, and we also pay at the end of the year, we out of the national office, if there is funds coming into the archives, we pay the salaries for the archives out of the national office. So we're basically in a cash crunch because the stations have not contributed to the central services, which is not, again, it's not just something that's there. It's, we have not been able to pay so that we're in a, so that we can pay the insurance, pay NPR, pay satellite, pay all of those costs on time. And these are costs that are directly related to stations. You know, the national office does not broadcast, the stations do. But due to economies of scale, we pay those out of the national office. We have state registrations that we have to pay, and they're kind of like sitting on the desk until we get cash in. So, you know, this whole concept of central services, when we present the national office, we're going to have kind of a talk like, Brian, this is a real deal. This is very important. And this is not some nebulous thing that we're sitting there hoarding cash. So in terms of trying to do things a better way and trying to get them, you know, that's all around, that's what we're trying to do, basically trying to assign responsibilities to individuals who can actually do those jobs. And also, I might add that here's the national office, we're really monitoring the expenses of all the stations that have happened and questioning those so that we can at least get to the end of the year without having a huge loss. So I really appreciate, you know, everyone, and really the other reason for Brian to be on the call is to explain, like, people just don't know that this is the all things in the archives. And I must admit that, you know, they're rumbling sometime in the station, and Brian, I'm sure, is aware of this, that they're saying, well, we made this, and why do we have to pay for this stuff that we're making? Well, you know, if there's no one central place to archive, to catalog, to store and preserve this, all of this can just go away.
You never find it. It wouldn't be there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, you know that a $375,000 check can sit and then to negotiate how to get it back. The records in the programming that's unique to the Pacifica Foundation in terms of the amount of programming that's done on a daily basis. You know, this is very, very important. So the number one thing is that we have to understand that the archives are our history, and that with every task, not only this, we have to work together. We can't sit back and say, well, one part is taking more than the other, or throw in a responsibility on another unit and get in and make it work together. So, Brian, being up here, this is really good. You have to get this information out. So,
well, thank you. And my little final say, I'm sorry to interrupt, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's it.
I was just going to say that we have to remember that the the tapes are, do not put themselves on pause waiting for the foundation to stabilize itself. They're deteriorating whether we like it or not.
Of course.
Whether we can afford it or not, they're deteriorating. So we can't put ourselves on pause for too long before we have to take great major steps to get it done. And that's why I'm here, to preach that gospel.
Thank you, Brian. You know, I have to say, personally, like, when it comes to the value of the archives, when there's something really important that goes out on our airwaves and somebody says, oh, it's okay, it's saved to the archives, and I go, oh, you mean the 60-day archives? They're like, no, the real archives. And I'm like, oh, good, I'll be able to get a copy if I need one 3 years from now, you know? Because nobody else is doing that. It really is. I mean, you provide the place where all of our historical memory lives unless you personally kept track of it yourself. So as a network, I mean, no station should resent the services provided by putting stuff on permanent storage that we can always access. The really important, you know, MacArthur Park 3 years ago, you know, the stuff, some of it got archived. I was really pleased to hear that. Otherwise, it disappears from history, you know. So anyway, I think all of us agree at the tremendous importance, and it's necessary to highlight sometimes, or we forget it in the midst of the budget priorities and keeping everything afloat, you know. So are there any other questions for Brian? Because I think he's given us at least a good perspective on what's needed, and then obviously, we've got to work with the national office on any budgetary holes in the
and we have it balanced. And that, you know, and all when your budget is done at the stations, you need to make sure to ask, you know, what are you getting from the archives, and can we make that more?
Yeah.
And then versus going outside and getting premium. So that question should always be on the table for each station.
Well, that part of that's about priorities. I mean, I think we mentioned that on one of the previous phone calls with the Finance Committee, maybe it was the Outreach Committee, but that forcing from ourselves is the intelligent thing to do on a lot of things, you know, where we can utilize our own resources as premiums, and our listeners are happy to take them as premiums, and we should be doing as much of that as the market will bear, so to speak, and it's good for stations on the archives. So, I guess the other question was then...
I just wanted to add a comment.
Yes, please.
For Brian, down here at KPFT for our summer CISL fun drive, which is our mini drive that should last 10 days, I think management is looking at committing 10% of the fun drive to you all, to the archives.
Okay. Right, I appreciate that.
And I think we're going to the pitch for the fun drive. We've been doing picking a project that we support, and for the summer CISL, we're going to use the archives as the premier organization we're
cool.
going to be providing support during the whole 10-day fun drive,
okay.
Which hopefully means that we'll be able to have a lot of premiums from the archives available to our listeners. And I just hope that we do a very good job and that it helps you at least inch forward with your efforts, if not
thank
moving
you so
a foot.
Much. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Right. I have one final question, I guess, for LeVar and for you, Brian, just in terms of timing. We're waiting for the numbers to come back from the stations and for central services. Realistically, within our budget approval process, which, you know, by right, we should have all these budgets approved by the end of September and in balance. Realistically, we're at the beginning of July right now, so we've got, you know, August and September, basically. I mean, are we looking maybe, mid to end August before?
As soon as we get the numbers from the stations on central services and their little sales things, I think we will be able to identify enough revenue to balance it.
Okay, well, that's all I would ask from the committee level is just, you know how the process is. Everything gets behind schedule and everybody's late. This year is no different than any other in terms of, you know, the stress of wanting to get budgets done before we're in the next budgetary cycle. So I would just ask that as soon as those numbers do come in, you know, obviously that we get them back here, because your budget is fairly straightforward and simple compared to a lot of the station budgets. So as soon as it is in balance, then we could sort of prioritize it and get it passed and be able to move on to things that will cause us more consternation.
Okay, great.
Well, you know, it's set up that, you know, you just drop in the numbers and it calculates. So, you know, Brian is just waiting.
Gary?
Well, I really appreciate it allowing me to come on and present the intent of the budget, whether it's balanced or not at this moment. And that it really is the first time I've been invited by the finance people to let me talk about the intent and any questions. So for that sake, hooray! Congratulations!
Thank you for spending your time with us, and let it not be the last time that we ask you to come and give your input, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, LaVarne.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about is we need to implement a budget or some rules on the community meetings.
Okay.
We've talked about this, and I've kind of floated the idea, and we've discussed it before about in terms of setting up the meetings for 2011. Is that we want the meeting back on schedule, so the last meeting would be in September of 2011. Not October like it is this year. So therefore, in order to do that, we're having a meeting in October, and we would have four meetings in 2011, fiscal 2011 in October, the next one in January to seat the board, the next one in May, and then in September. So again, I'm putting that out there. At some point, I want to put a motion forward, maybe at the meeting here in Berkeley. So I just want to know if, you know, any questions you have, and that we can probably ask the treasurer when he makes his report to the PNB that we would use that as a motion. And basically it's to get back on track, and also due to our finances that we really need to make an exception and move on this and for this year, I think, for the next fiscal year.
Is this essentially to change it from four meetings to three? Or, I mean, it's still four within the fiscal year.
Right, it's still forward in the fiscal year, and because of the fact that, you know, our finances are precarious, that we need to get back on track, that we would have the last meeting in the fiscal year set it for September, and not for October.
And how does that help our finances exactly, LaVarne, except for shortening? I mean, is it because it's shortening
well,
up on the meeting?
It would help our finances because, you know, we would have to schedule another meeting. And
so we're essentially eliminating a meeting.
It would be October. So, right, so we would eliminate, like we usually have an April and then like a July meeting. And the board is just seated in January. And we actually seat our affiliates at that meeting. So there wouldn't really be a critical necessity to have a meeting in April. And also, you know, the cost of the meetings are very expensive, too. An October meeting in New York will be expensive because that's hotel rates are higher there. So that's how it would help us in terms of, and then in the following year, we would schedule the three meetings, and that would essentially help, too, because, you know, when we do these budgets, you know, we really need to kind of project beyond a 1 year.
Sure. And
2 years would give us an idea of where we would actually be in 2 years versus 1 year, and then we'll definitely have a cash flow that in the 2011 budget that takes us through December of that year. So I think that's very important, is that essentially we'll run through a 2 year budget, and that would show.
Is there a discussion, questions?
I would like to add.
Go ahead.
I think that your proposal, LaVarne, is is very meritorious, if there's such a word in English like that.
Yes, it is.
And meritorious.
Meritorious.
And that we should make every effort to do what you're planning, that you're hoping that we'll plan. And I just hope that the members of this finance committee can go ahead and craft some kind of resolution, namely you, Summer, so that the in-person meeting in 2 weeks, you can present that motion to the PNB, and let's just keep our fingers crossed that they accept it.
What I would ask for that, to give me some support, because, yes, I do need to put together a finance committee report for the PNB meeting, and I'll gladly present that as a motion, is LaVarne maybe If you could send me some of the data, because I always like data to back up why this is a good idea. Like, i.e., if this is what we spend on meetings and this is how much we're going to save fiscal, you know, then, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And, you know, and also I think, you know, because I've seen some of the email chatter, you know, I'm driving to Berkeley. I expect to have my gas covered. I don't expect this to cost me money. But I also expect people to act with, you know, reasonable diligence to save money, because I've seen emails in there about outlandishly overpriced airline tickets. And I'm thinking, that's just sloppiness and carelessness on the parts of board members. It shouldn't be like that, you know. I mean, 3 weeks beforehand is the deadline for booking tickets, and everybody knows that. I fly once every 10 years, and I know that. So I think maybe as part of this, in addition to just, you know, the number of meetings, there's also some guidelines for what's, you know, appropriate for trying to save as much money as possible without being unreasonable. We're not asking for board members to take it out of their pockets, but don't pay twice as much for a ticket than you have to, you know. And I think we should probably put some of that in there, too, because I think sometimes people are very careless in how they do these things, you know.
Arpal.
Summer?
Yes.
Arpal.
Okay, and was that John Langer?
It is.
Okay, go ahead, John, and then Arpal.
Yeah, you know, it occurs to me that the NFC may be the appropriate place to launch a more general initiative than LeVarne's. LeVarne's idea is fine as far as it goes, but there are other issues that that really should be considered. One of them is meetings should be scheduled in places with regard to the seasons and the weather. So, for example, I understand there's an oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico, and hurricane season's coming, so this might be, an unfortunate time to plan a meeting for Houston, Texas. And I've heard that in New York City and Washington, D.C., it's colder in hell in the winter and hotter in heck in the summer, so those would be good places to meet in the spring and the fall when it's idyllic. And, you know, L.A. and we've got pretty mediocre, pretty nondescript weather all the time, so you can meet here whenever you want. San Francisco, with the joke of Mark Twain was notwithstanding, you know, even in the summertime, it's really not that cold in the San Francisco Bay Area. So my suggestion is that what we should do is, looking at it from a financial point of view, let's by all means plot the costs of airfares. And let's do some strategic planning with regard to planning the meetings when you can fly the most cheaply, and with the goal to minimize the total costs, you know, and to make it feasible to, you know, for people to drive, you know, when it makes sense. Similarly, let's avoid, you know, the weather disaster and things, and, you know, and let's make it easier on people and have people go to the cities when they are the nicest to visit. And so that's just a matter of common sense. It seems to me that those two things should be put into a matrix and some strategic planning done to minimize the total cost, because if you plan to go to Houston and they have a hurricane, then that's going to drive up your costs because you're going to have unexpected contingencies with regard to airfares, canceled flights, and all that kind of stuff. So those are the two points. So, you know, let's figure out a way to make it happen and generalize LeVarne's concept to the more general one of, you know, right place at the right time of year.
Good.
I want to follow up on something that LeVarne brought up, which is thinking about FY12. Well, I think that would be a good idea. I think that although we'll do an FY11 budget and FY12 budget, I think we need to look at those two fiscal years pretty much together, because I think that Pacifica is kind of in a big crisis at this point, and these next 2 years, in my opinion, are going to determine if Pacific is going to continue, or at least some of the stations continue. It's going to be a very, very crucial time, and among other things, FY12 is going to see some extra costs that we need to start at least biting our fingernails over at this time. I believe WPFW is going to be moving, is going to have to move sort of soon during these next two fiscal years. And I know that by the end of 2012, WBAI has to move. We have two big moves in two metropolitan areas where things can be very costly. And so we've been, you know, going crazy in Pacifica trying to pay this bill and let that bill go, and then move the money over to pay that bill and let the other bill go. You know, we've been playing hopscotch with how we pay bills as it is.
Mm-hmm.
The sudden capital problems of two big moves is, you know, if we had to do that right now, we wouldn't be able to. And we have to make sure that we pay attention to the fact that this is going to happen by 2012 at some point. We can't wait until the end of 2012, otherwise we'll really be up a creek. So we're going to have to pay attention to the fact that we have those two. I mean, there could be other things too, as has been pointed out. You know, somebody's transmitter could blow up or something, some unforeseen thing could happen. But this is something we know for certain.
No.
And so looking at broader view of two fiscal years, I think is a very good idea, and I think it would probably help us, you know, with FY11 to also think about the big stuff that's going to happen in FY12. That's all.
Yes, I hear.
I agree.
Just to pick up on what both John Wenger and Dar Paul have been saying, I mean, I agree with the first thing completely about coordinating our travel better. If I had flown out of Washington, D.C. 1 hour later when I left the D.C. meeting in January, I would have been stuck there for an entire week with my family in desperate straits back in California, frankly. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how bad that storm was. That if Brian is still on the call, he could recount how he and I both raced to the airport hoping to get out of town before the wings completely iced over on our respective planes, and we made it out about an hour before the airports closed and Washington, D.C. shut down for an entire week. And that's, like, crazy, because, you know, I would have been expecting to build Pacifica for that entire week, I guarantee you, if I'd gotten stuck in D.C. like that. So that's stuff we should plan for, because it's terrible to put board members in a position where their entire lives could be completely disrupted and children could be without their parents and stuff, because we book flights for places that are having the worst weather on Earth. And that's something that should go into the logistics. And then just the 2-year planning, I couldn't agree more, because we're always throwing ourselves across the budgetary deadline, hoping to come out with a balanced budget and somehow land on the other side of the new fiscal year with just enough money to start without being in a hole. It's a terrible way to operate, because we don't have any type of real reserve going on to deal with things like major moves like that. And I hope you can take it from these things. I really would like to have an executive-level discussion. I think there are genuine staffing issues which impact the decision-making process that have an impact on our finances, on how our fund drives do, on responsiveness to making changes when you see problems are occurring before they become, you know, $250,000 problems and you're trying to figure out how to fix them after it's too late. The responsiveness at the front end when you're having something happen. And I think we've got issues like that all over the network, and a 2-year plan would probably be very helpful to us to be able to assess where we're at and the kind of money that we need to put aside to be able to deal with these capital needs of stations that are already having difficulty just meeting regular day-to-day bills, and certainly don't have any extra resources to meet these, you know, upcoming absolute challenges. So,
can I comment, please?
Please.
Okay. On John's thoughts, you know, for some reason or another, we are creatures of habit, and I might be wrong. I haven't read the bylaws. But the bylaw says that we're supposed to meet in the different signal areas.
Yeah.
However, I don't know if it says that we're supposed to go on the merry-go-round, around and around and around.
It does. It's a signal rotation, I think.
Yeah, well, rotation can go into many directions. So maybe one of the considerations would be for governance, and again, I don't want to add more work to anybody, but maybe we can look at the possibility of skipping around based on weather situations for having our national board meetings. And if that's acceptable, well, that could be great. And I know that we can have a winter meeting in Houston when the hurricanes are gone and prices are cheap and at the hotels, and we can have a decent meeting in Houston on a winter day as opposed to meeting in New York. Anyway, going on to our Paul's comment, I just want us to understand one of the fears that we have as far as 2012 is concerned, besides the fact that the world is going to end on December the 22nd? Sorry, I had to say it. That's what my ancestors say, the Mayas.
Yes, the end of the world is coming.
No. Let me get serious. Is that I've heard in my role as a person who thinks about things that there's nothing that I can do about, I've gotten ideas that numbers, that it is going to take millions of dollars to move WPFW, that it is going to take millions of dollars to move WBAI, and I think that is not true. And we have a tendency to ask supposed experts, and experts always come back with unacceptable figures. Mm-hmm. And I think that as far as if we're going to be thinking about the radio stations moving, I think one of the things that we need to do is become serious as it relates to what it is it really going to cost us, since we have to raise the money to move the radio stations in the year 2012. And I don't think it should be one of those scary figures that those supposed experts come back and tell you, well, it's going to be, you know, $5 million to move the radio station, because that's not fair. Anyway, those are my two comments.
Well, hello, hello.
Alberto's completely right. Who is that?
Oh, hi. I've been listening for the last 15 minutes. This is Alonzo.
Hi, Alonzo. Hi.
Hey, Alonzo.
Hi. You know, Lloyd's of London type organizations, they insure all kinds of things. Is it possible, we have like a legal insurance, you know, with our lawyer. Is it possible to get some kind of insurance for these meetings?
Like travel insurance almost.
Yeah.
I think one of the problems with things like that is they tend to be prohibitively expensive in relation to the, like a cost benefit. They're just things like weddings and stuff. A lot of our failures, I think, are self-induced failures of planning, and those type of things aren't generally covered by insurance. They might cover things like our hotel being full of bed bugs, but I don't know if they're going to cover things like, you know, simply spending too much money because we didn't plan it at the right time of year, or board members waiting until 3 days before flight time to book their travel.
Oh, no, yeah.
I think some of these things, there probably is such an insurance for meetings and stuff, but I don't know that it would really resolve the issues that we're
having. Why are you asking, Alonso? Oh,
because I heard you all talking about if something happens where the meeting is affected because of some
weather,
bad conditions. Either.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, you're probably right. It might affect things like that, like you had board members stranded for a week. But some of these things, I mean, I really think Alberto's idea, we could resolve the issue of doing an order by simply mandating that, you know, that you can bounce around, but that all the signal areas have to be covered within, you know, X number of meetings, which are not simply going back and saying, you know, that you have to have covered all of them before you return again to the first one in rotation or whatever. I mean, I think maybe somebody should take up at the board meeting, you know, that we're having, in-person meeting, to try and resolve some of these logistical issues. They're not rocket science. They are something we can do, you know. And I think, Alberto, also what you had to say about moving the station is it's completely accurate. You know, I don't believe in buying real estate retail. I think one should only buy real estate out of foreclosure, and I'm really adamant about that. Like, I personally won't look to buy anything if it's not a foreclosure or a tax lien sale, because why pay retail when you can pick it up off the floor for pieces? And right now we have radio stations going out of business all over the country. I mean, we should see what's gone out of business in New York or D.C. lately. There might be a radio station just sitting around waiting for us to move in that God will provide for us and set right in front of us and say, here, walk in with your license because this place went out of business. And there are a lot of ways to do it more less expensively than what consultants tell us. But these are the kind of things, if we don't start, you know, our policies, if we don't start planning them right now, we'll be 2 years from now and we won't be any closer to a solution for the stations that actually are in that position. So I think a longer scope of planning is the type of thing we should take up on the bylaws, but the constant turnover of everybody makes it difficult to do long-term planning, you know, because we're like regular politicians. We're either running for office or about to be out of office, but we're never in office long enough to just focus on getting the stuff done in a long-term view, you know. So I think those are points a good discussion. Maybe we should have like a more open discussion on these issues at the in-person meeting.
Madam Chair, may I please? I wanted to tell Alonso this. You know, I had in my weird mind, I said, wow, why doesn't WPFW buy one of those brownstone houses around the corner on 18th Street and move the radio station into one of those brownstones that is probably empty, and I think that would be very cheap.
Well, I'm on that committee.
They're not big, will not do for us.
I know, but it was an interesting thought.
Well, yeah. You can move certain people there, but not the station going up. Unfortunately, we need something bigger.
Right, maybe like to start looking now, because seriously, things are in desperate straits out there financially.
We've been doing.
I'm glad to hear it, of course.
Oh yeah, this has been going on for a long time, and the move itself, we know, has to take place. Actually, now it's less than a year and a half. We are about a year or so away, but we have to start moving. We figure it's going to take us about a year and a half to actually do the move. So we have to be out of there in 3 years. So, yeah, we're pretty desperate, and I have no idea where the money's coming from right now.
So you're looking at an overlap period of a substantial nature, aren't you, where you're going to be paying rentals on the current building and...
Oh, there could be stuff like this going on. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest, even though there's a sense of urgency about dealing with the move, there's also a parallel sense of denial.
Yeah. Okay, but realistically, from a financial perspective, we could be looking at a year and a half worth of overlap or a year's worth of overlap.
There's stuff that we could be looking at, yeah. And I don't have any figures or anything to tell you right now, but yes.
Well, maybe as soon as we get done with the budget process, we start thinking about these strategic issues affecting two of our stations, I think.
That could be the job for the Finance Committee. Once we finish for the budget,
yeah,
we can start spending a little bit of time on what are we going to do with the moves.
That's what I'm thinking, Alberto, exactly, because if we start planning, you know what I mean, that gives us maybe 6 months of time to work on these issues and really, you know,
Before the budgetary process starts again.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, part of what's complicating things, at least at our station, but I think maybe elsewhere too, is that we're in such flux when it comes to top management.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got an interim general manager, and we're supposed to be getting a new one, but we don't know when, and it kind of creates a sense of almost like lethargy, because no one wants to make the important decisions, and
we've got the same problem out here. It is very difficult when you have four stations with interim management and no... between the boards that turn over... I mean, I have a whole lot of theories about this. I mean, having boards that turn over where you have half a board...
Board probably will turn over again.
Well, it's also just the way it turns over. You have people that have been on 1 year, and then you turn the board over again, so you may have a combination of people who have been on 1 year and people who have just gotten on the board, and very few people have been on there longer, and it creates an entire reinvention of the wheel situation all the time. And of course, it's non-functional from an organizational perspective to have constant reinvention of the wheel like that. And of course, if we're doing that with management and staff at the same time, it's very disruptive to long-term planning.
Summer?
Yes. Go ahead, Bill.
Just put me on the queue. Just put me on the queue when it's time.
Oh, go ahead. Go right ahead. I think
yeah.
Are you done, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I know.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, apropos of those last remarks, I had a conversation with a fellow named Lloyd in the phone room the other day when we were doing Fund Drive, and we were talking about bylaws, because we both worked on the bylaw committees at KPFK, and so we had a history of some knowledge about the bylaws. And there was an organization at KPFK that fought for a different model of bylaws, specifically addressing Summer's concerns. Specifically, they had what they called the rule of three. They wanted, instead of using what we have now, which is an election in 1 year and an election in the next year, and then a year off for no elections, and then you repeat the cycle again, which leads to the problem that Summer just just enumerated, namely, you can get to the situation where you have a rookie board and your most experienced people have only 1 year on. And Summer didn't say it, but I think that there's an expectation, or it's reasonable, that this drives up costs. That is to say, when you have a board composed, it's half of virgins and half of people with only 1 year board experience on their local station board, then that's going to drive up costs because you've got too little experience.
Yes.
And so the reason that the rule of three was not followed by the interim PNB, Carol Spooner and the rest of them, was they said, well, it's going to cost too much. It's going to cost too much to have an election every year, and people need a rest. They'll get election shock and all the rest. Well, I think that we on the National Finance Committee need to look at this, and this could be one of these tasks that we do in our off year, off season when we're not doing budget, is to look at these costs in a strategic way to see if those costs might be lower if we did have the rule of three. And I don't really know the answer, and I can argue that we should have the rule of three or not. I can argue both sides of that, but I think it's worthy of a little bit of our time to think about it, not only from a cost point of view, but also sort of there's other kinds of costs. There's financial costs and there's functionality costs as far as the PNB goes.
Yeah.
And a board still.
Thank you, John. Well, I think there are costs everywhere. Yeah. I'm sorry, who was that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. WBAI's lease expires December 31st, 2012.
Okay.
When must WPFW move exactly?
Mm, 3 years, I believe, Arpal, is what he had said. But
I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
I don't know the exact date, but yeah, we've been told that we have to be out of there in 3 years. I don't think we're not that we're not going to wait for 3 years to get out of there, though.
Because it won't work. I'm looking for somebody who has, like, the lease or whatever.
So BAI probably will have to move first, and then WPFW is what it's sounding like.
Because at BAI, we had been getting told by some folks that we were supposed to move January 1st of 2012.
Fine.
And then we got a hold of the lease, and we found it December 31st. So sometimes it's really a good idea to get a hold of the paper and eyeball it, and the eyes right here where it says. Because sometimes even management personnel will tell you the wrong things because of whatever reason.
So perhaps Bruce could track that down if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I can track that down. But I can tell you that by my understanding, though, I don't know any exact dates, but we should be moving in 2012, too. That's the whole point.
Right.
I mean, regardless of what the end date of the lease is,
we have to be
in the process of moving well before that in order to... That's what we've been told, anyway, to accomplish the move.
Right. Part of my concern is that I don't see how Pacifica can possibly handle the two moves going on at full force all at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the longer we can space this out between those two moves, the more likely we are to be able to come up with enough money to get someplace where it's not terrible. I have to say that in terms of listening to the experts, we have had an expert at BAI, we've had several, regarding our real estate situation. And, New York City is radio market number one on the planet Earth at this point. Pretty soon it won't be, I think. But the deal is that there are not a lot of radio stations that are getting abandoned around here, because if somebody wants to get rid of a radio station, somebody will be quite willing to buy it and make money off it. They'll still make money. So, and we're dealing with Manhattan real estate, which is, shark beer Manhattan real estate brokers. It's pretty terrible stuff, and it's extremely expensive, and I agree that we should look around and see if we can get some sort of donated space or something like that, but we do have to understand that no matter what, BAI is looking at a seven-figure move.
Sure.
Also, before we go, there are a couple of things we should cover for the committee. We can keep going with other stuff now, but...
No, go ahead, Art Paul, because I'd like to wrap up the meeting shortly. Okay. I mean, we've done a lot of interesting discussion, but some of it is future tense, and it's important, but yeah. We can't really act on it tonight.
Okay, let me ask. Is Simon Pius here?
He asked for an excuse to ask.
Oh, he's asked. And Tracy Rosenberg, too.
She didn't ask for an excuse to ask him, because she has not ever
okay.
come.
She's on elections committee.
The other thing is,
do we want to make our next meeting, which is on the 27th, do we want to put the executive session in that meeting?
Yes. Well, I'm sort of disappointed with our executives for not participating in that. I don't mean LaVar, because she's been on all of our calls. But, I mean, in order to make it successful, we do need the participation of the ED, who obviously can't be here tonight because of the elections call. But I would ask that you please do that, because I personally don't feel able to move forward with Kay's budget without going over personnel issues. And I know when they have come up, I know there are personnel issues going on at KPFA and potentially BAI. And, you know, I mean, we have to discuss these things in the context
right.
of budget.
So I'll put that up there.
So please do. And, you know, if it gets postponed again, I'll have a screaming tizzy fit at that meeting. But right now I'm hoping we'll get there.
We're doing the best we can with what we've got.
I think those are my questions. Thank you, R. Paul. I appreciate you bringing that back up. Because, yes, I basically want to continue to have that executive session on there until we have it and cover
okay.
these personnel issues, because we've got to cover them to go forward with our budget. So,
Madam Chair, are we ready to leave?
I would gladly.
I have a question first.
Oh.
Yes. Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to get our Paul to repeat that date and when BAI has to move out, December 31st, but I didn't get the year.
December 31st, 2012.
And I would have as soon as possible, I guess, Bruce, you know, R. Paul, you've got your number. Bruce, get your number when your, you know, the absolute due date is on moving out of your building in Washington. And then you do need to kind of start projecting over the next two-year period to, you know, how it's looking for acquisition of new space, who needs to move first, what it's really going to cost, and all that, because things move slowly around here. We're going to need to think about it way ahead of time, including whether we're still on this committee or board or anything, but we need to start laying the groundwork for the process, which brings us back to, I mean, we could have a further discussion on elections, and I think those are a legitimate thing that we should have some discussion on, because how we run our elections not only impacts us financially in terms of what the elections cost, but obviously in terms of the quality of the board and how the foundation is run for all the years after the election occurs are affected by how the elections, you know, whether people are experienced, whether they make bad decisions because they, you know, don't know what they're doing yet, all those things potentially can mean the life or death of the foundation. So I think those are important conversations that we should engage in after we're done with the budget process.
Can I chime in on a quick one?
Yes, of course.
As it relates to all of this?
Yes.
The governance committee of KPFT adopted a slight change for the bylaws. It made it to the local station board, and the local station board has forwarded it to the national board.
Okay.
And it will hit the national board sometime soon.
Okay.
And it's a very, very small change which will begin helping us trigger modifications to our bylaws. And let me just, since I have all of you here, let me give you a heads up on it, since
sure.
I'm a member also of the governance committee here at local governance committee at KPFT. We have asked, and Dr. Ryder is going to try and swing it, given that the bylaws have to be changed by three local signal area, local station boards, and the national board within the same calendar month, which is impossible to do. So what we sent, and Dr. Ryder will probably schedule a meeting at the beginning of a month, maybe in August, just to try and adopt this recommendation that instead of, that change the wording from within the calendar month, change that part within the three of the five signal areas and the PMB have to adopt the change within the same calendar month to change it within 60 days, and that'll give us 2 months to do that kind of work, mm-hmm. and maybe we can begin really looking at the bylaws, those little pieces that we need to start tweaking. But this is the first step at trying to make some sense out of those bylaws.
I think that's wonderful. I think all of us will support that because it was illogical the other way. There's no way you can get all that done. And
There's no way that we can get all the everybody to adopt the change within one calendar month. But let's see what happens. I wanted to add to Bruce one thing.
Yes.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, I heard that that while the lease, and again, this goes back to the fine print, that with your lease in your building, that even though you have a 3-year lease, there's some kind of fine print in the document that might say that the new owners can come in and make the lease shorter. Are you still there, Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean the holders of the lease? You mean the people we're leasing from?
Yeah, or the new buyers.
Okay, the thing is, here's the thing. The people who own the building we're in want to knock the building down because they're going to be replacing it with a high-priced hotel or
hotel,
something.
Yes, sir.
So it's not just when our lease runs out. It's because they also have a time frame they're trying to meet. And so that's one reason why we have to be out of there. So,
okay.
I'll get some harder information.
Okay. It'll help you guys with your planning.
Can I make, before we conclude, one point of information, which is, I just want to, it doesn't really affect anything, but I just want to let you know that I'm going to be in Los Angeles on the 27th through August 5th.
Ah.
I'm going to be out there visiting my sons out there. So I'm hoping to be able to, you know, stop by the
station. We'd love to meet with you, Bruce.
Huh?
We'd love to meet with you. The local finance people here would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, John
but,
and I.
So, we'll see. But, but I'll be there that night, so it'll be kind of actually be on your time frame when making the call.
Yes, 5:30.
It's just going to feel different.
It feels very different because in Los Angeles you're going, oh my gosh, it's 5:30, traffic is hell, how do I get the phone stuff up, you know, it's a totally different experience and it's 8:30 and I wish this were over.
Right.
Excellent.
All right, well, we look forward to meeting you if we get a chance to when you're out there, Bruce. And I think these things that are coming up about the bylaws are very important to addressing our longer-term, you know, financial issues. I mean, I go kind of the other way. I think we should have 4-year terms that turn over at 2-year intervals, so we only have an election every 2 years, and you never have anybody on the board that's younger than 2 years old if they're still on there when you turn over half the board. But that's why we should have, like, discussions on this, because Adam and Nick...
I had heard that somebody had brought that amendment up a couple of 2-3 years ago, but it didn't fly.
Well, that's because sometimes people think, they go, oh, my God, 4 years. And instead, I end up thinking, oh, my gosh, 6 years, because I end up having to run again, because otherwise everybody's going to be brand new, right? So, it's okay. I think it was a fruitful discussion. LaVarne, do you have anything else before we go? Because I think we're about all ready to call it a night here.
Oh, yeah.
No, that should be all. Again, just, take with you that as far as your stations, we really need to utilize the archives. You know, we really need to stop any conversation where there's this perception that the things that go to the archives are somehow it's not, you know, are trying to build, individual stations trying to build their own archives, you know. All of this stuff is swirling around
some
issues with Brian without really seeing it. So, you know, if we want to be a foundation, we have to support the archives. Because Brian has gotten a recognition, like from CPB and on a national level. He's worked with the National Endowment for the Arts. So, you know, this is the type of thing we need to support. And that campus campaign in terms of supporting your high school, junior high, college, whatever, you know, we should all really, I mean, that will bring a lot of revenue, and it's really a great thing. So I think we all need to, you know, this is just to let us know, although Biden may be coming if this is the first time. But, you know, our goal is to work together as a foundation. If we can do that and, you know, and actually implement this scale, because Biden has his issues too, like the national office, but, you know, we don't print money here. So, you know, we have to work this as a group and to share these resources so that we can using the economies of scale to make this all more successful. And I really like the idea of endorsing the plan to have really almost like a 3-year plan, but to take it out 2 years. And if we can get, I'm trying to get like a summary by next week of the budgets, which hopefully we'll have, because we're working on the KFA budget here, and we can review it with Ahmad and Priya. And that I'm going to summarize the preliminary budget for next week for the PNB and move them to amendment.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Bhavan. All right. Thank you, everyone. Is there a motion to adjourn on the floor?
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
And hearing no objections, I wish you all an excellent evening. And for those of you that I will see in person at the PNB meeting, I will see you there. And for everyone else, we'll meet each other on the phone in 2 weeks, okay?
Good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.